This is Nolan Financial Radio with Tara Nolan from Tara Nolan Advisory Services. When a part of your financial strategy is out of tune, your long-term goals, your retirement savings, and your legacy can all suffer. With many years of experience in the financial industry, Tara provides her clients and prospects with the information they need regarding Social Security, retirement income planning, wealth management, and much more. Listen in as we address your financial concerns and provide helpful solutions to put you on the path to achieving your retirement goals. And now, here is Nolan Financial Radio with Tara Nolan.
Hello, and welcome to Nolan Financial Radio. My name is Chris McKinney from Nolan Financial Partners. If you'd like more information about what you're hearing during our show today, give us a call at 719-210-4242 or visit us online at nolanfinancialpartners.com. And while at our website, click on the radio page, check out our past shows, and subscribe to our program on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon Music. Like many things in a closely divided Congress, passage of the new budget bill didn't happen without a fair amount of drama. But as the AP reported last month, the House finally passed the nearly 900-page bill on a 218-214 vote. That was back in July. So, and then President Trump signed into law at the White House the following day on July 4th. So during the show today, we're going to break down a bit the bill of it with a goal of giving you a better understanding of what it may mean for you and what it could mean for your future. So before we get to that, let me introduce you to my co-host, Tony Shore, who is jumping with joy with this new budget bill.
I wouldn't say that. All 970 pages or whatever. Nobody even knows yet what all is in this. That's what's crazy about it. Pass these big bills, we'll be hearing about new things and different things, and they'll be making clarifications on things that might completely change it. So you do have that to deal with, but there are some major points, especially when it comes to taxes in this bill. And I'm excited to dig into it. I've been good. This is my favorite time of year, headed into fall. Labor Day weekend means sports, football. It means
college football started, NFL's getting restart.
Exactly. And I like the crisp air. You know what I mean? It's nice. Yeah. Nice.
I like it too.
Yeah, it's my favorite month or a season, I should say. Fall is my favorite season by far. Well, of course, it helps that it's a beautiful season here in Colorado and my home state of Minnesota. If you ever go to Minnesota, you want to go there in August and September. Those are the months. Even October. But the end of October, it's already over. It's too
done.
It's winter. End of October it can start, buddy, and then it doesn't. You got to wait until May.
Everybody starts using those walkways from building that get to
the skyways in downtown Minneapolis. Robin Williams did. I saw him do stand up here once, and he said every time I visit, I stay in the hotel and I walk around the city and never have to go outside. I feel like a hamster in one of those little hamster tunnels. He goes, you guys are like hamsters running around. I just can't help thinking about how we're hamsters here in Minneapolis. And
sure.
I thought that was he pretty much nailed the vibe right there.
Hamsters inside a snow globe.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, Chris, where do you want to start with this big, I love how they call it one big, beautiful bill. Crazy title.
I have not read the bill, but I did read an article from NerdWallet, what the big, beautiful bill means for your finances. So it does a really good job of breaking down the bill. So we're going to get to it right away. So according to the Congressional Budget Office, this bill is set to pile on about $3.3 trillion to our national debt over the next decade. So that's a challenge. Now it's not just a number on paper. It's a ripple effect that could touch just about everybody. So, but buried in the hundreds of lines of budget items, there's real changes that can hit your wallet, your taxes, and your future plans. So let's talk about what's in the bill and how it could shape your financial landscape as well as the economy at large.
Yeah, I think this is going to be good. I mean, I know the bill is going to have major implications for taxes, both cuts and credits. What can you tell us about that?
So the first thing I wanted to talk about was the revenue for the federal government. So with regard to taxes, the biggest ticket item in the new budget bill is the permanent extension of the 2017 Tax Act. So those cuts were set to expire at the end of this year, but now they're here to stay. They're a permanent part of our the IRS code. So according to the Congressional Budget Office, they come with a really big price tag, and it's by far the most expensive move in the entire package. So first, let's look at who could benefit. So the wealthiest households could pocket more than $12,000 a year. Middle income families might see $500 or $1,000 back in their pockets annually. But for the lowest earners, it's actually a loss of about $1,500 a year because of the various loopholes and various things that change that are now locked in. So
sure,
there are nearly 70 tax related changes baked into this budget.
Wow.
Lot for me, the biggest ones are a bump in the standard deduction. So $750 more for individuals, $1,500 for couples starting this year, 2025. Now there's a really big deal for seniors. There's a increase of up to $6,000 for tax years 2025 through 2028. So that means a lot of people are going to pay a lot less money in taxes. They may move into the no tax category because of that.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and now there's a permanent boost to the alternative minimum tax exemption. There's an increase in child tax credit. So that's a really good thing. $2,200 in 2026. There's a bigger estate and gift tax exemptions. So, and some other headline generators are like no taxes on tips or overtime pay between 2025 and 2028. And then interest on new loans up to $10,000 is excluded during that period, although it's limited to vehicles assembled here. So if you're buying, you know, something that's assembled here, it's got to be assembled, not necessarily made, but assembled here. That's
right. Yeah.
So these changes they're going to cut the government revenue by trillions over the next decade. So while some families will feel relief, others may be left wondering where they fit in and how these moves shape their bigger picture.
Yeah. Like with anything this large, there's going to be good. And there's going to be bad. Yep. And I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. We're not getting political here today, but you got to look at how it's going to affect you and your personal situation. For some people, they're going to love a lot. For other people, it's not so good. So, but there are some things in here for both to love. I know, and we'll get to more to that, like that $6,000 per person tax credit for seniors. Yeah. That's going to help a lot of people.
Help a lot of people on a fixed budget.
Yeah. But you said the bill is going to mean a big drop in revenue for the federal government.
Yeah.
But they're also saying, you know, you got to look at how much you spend in reality, that there might be some revenue sources for the government in this bill. What are those possible generators?
The first thing I wanted to share with you was that the state and local tax deduction cap, known as SALT deduction cap, is going up to $40,000 from 2025 to 2028. So that's a big jump from the $10,000 limit we had. So if it would have expired if they hadn't changed anything, but now it's going to be that $40,000. So
you'd think it would be a cost to the government if they raised the cap, but because if they hadn't done that, it would have been, they would have eliminated the cap completely, which would have let taxpayers deduct unlimited state and local taxes.
That's right.
So I guess they're using that to say, hey, this could actually raise $950 billion over time.
It's a change in deduction. So you conduct less of the amount of taxes. So this would affect higher wage earners more so than the average wage earner.
Sure.
So most people don't have $10,000 and you know, state taxes, because typical state taxes are somewhere between, you know, 4% and 10%. So you'd have to be, you know, if it's 10%, you'd have to be making $100,000 to go over the $10,000 limit.
Yeah.
To go over the $40,000 limit, you have to be making $400,000 for a state that charges 10% in tax, which is our tax. So it really only affects high wage earners. But it is there. So it's,
yeah,
now you can't deduct it. So
sure.
On the clean energy front, things are shifting. The residential clean energy tax is gone after 2025. Hmm. So if you're thinking about rooftop solar or geothermal, now's the time. You've got to the end of the year to get that installed to take advantage of those energy tax credits. So that's another $77 billion that are going to stay with the government because that tax credit's not going to be going out.
Yeah, and the clean energy tax credits that have been eliminated are, and it's more than just solar too. EVs, there was a $7,500 tax credit if you bought a brand new electric vehicle.
That ends in September.
Yeah, that ends in September. So that's a big one. It's a lot more money back in the, it's more money back in the government's pocket, but it's also eliminating incentives for green energy and pollution limitation. So there's good and bad, to that. And it just depends on your view there. We're not going to get into politics, but I know I personally like electric vehicles, and I thought it was smart to head that direction. So I was kind of surprised that they just completely eliminated, and there were incentives to auto manufacturers to go electric, and those have been removed by the government. So
that's right.
So the vehicle manufacturers are no longer getting incentives or any tax breaks from the government for building electric vehicles. So here in the U.S., and that also changes our competitiveness with countries that are, you know, it does give China and Japan and other countries an edge over us in this area, which I think the rest of the world is going to keep moving forward on. And I think we kind of took a step back.
Yeah.
I agree, though, that we do need to eliminate government spending and put down the budget deficit. So, I'm torn over some of these because there's pros and cons, right?
Yeah, there's pros and cons. And then there's, you know, competitive marketplace. What are we doing to ourselves in that competitive marketplace?
Sure.
And so we can kind of control how like electric cars come to America by throwing tariffs on things. So we have 100% tariff on cars from China.
Yeah.
Right. And so that keeps us buying American cars and Japanese cars and European cars and not Chinese cars. But it doesn't mean that it's going to help the U.S. auto sales in Europe and other countries and other, you know, African countries and South America. Those countries are buying Chinese cars a lot. The Chinese impact in the other countries for cars is going way up.
And it'll be
control that.
Nope. And by doing that, by the 100% tariff, by eliminating our production of electric cars here in the U.S., you're fueling that. So there's positives again and negatives, and that's a big negative. But we'll have to see how it all plays out. So. What's another thing that this bill does?
It's closing off some small package Dodge taxes. Some like online orders from abroad may get pricier because if you're ordering something that's coming from overseas, they're going to tax it a little bit differently. So they're trying to grab that tax money for imports through online stuff. So if you're buying from Temu or some of those companies, there's going to be some taxes on there that those costs may go up to buy those things.
Sure.
So with tax changes, things are going to shift in the federal budget. How spending is going to shift, policy updates, all this stuff could really impact your wallet for a lot of years. And so a financial service professional can really help you break down what matters to you and what doesn't.
Yeah.
So, you know, you want to consider how to adjust your financial strategy accordingly. Mm-hmm. So from helping maximize the new deductions to avoid some costly missteps, working with a financial service professional, maybe a really good chance to add some clarity, context, and value to your financial strategy.
Yeah, I think that's important. You want to make sure that you're minimizing your personal tax burden and taking advantage where you can of certain changes in the bill, and then understanding the impact of other changes. So in order to do that, you need to have somebody who's a fiduciary, a trusted financial services professional who's going to look out for your best interests and look at the big picture. So how can our listeners get a hold of you, Chris, you and Tara there at Nolan Financial, to set up a no charge, no obligation consultation?
Yes, to set up that no cost complimentary appointment, give us a call at 719-210-4242. Give us a call there. We'll set it up. We've reserved Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays for those meetings so we can get you in. We've got some slots for that. Please give us a call, 719-210-4242. Check us out at our website, NolanFinancialPartners.com.
All right. See, you were trying to put it in my words. No obligation consultation. But that's a tongue twister. You got to use your own words. I say those words a lot more than you do.
Oh, no kidding.
No obligation consultation. Got it down. I'm a poet. And I didn't even know it, but my feet show it. They're Longfellows.
Oh,
you heard that one. Bad dad joke of the day. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So you've been really helping peel back the large onion that is the big, beautiful bill on our big, beautiful show today. Signed into law on July 4th. And it's been a great discussion. How the new bill is expected to take considerable revenue from the government,
right,
while returning some revenue. What do you have for us in the second segment?
Well, so there has been some cuts to the federal budget to help try and offset some of this as well. And so there's a $930 billion in cuts to social programs over the next decade, according to that article I read from NerdWallet. So that means big changes for Medicaid, Medicare, the Affordable Care Act, programs that cover more than 100 million Americans combined. So people are going to really feel that in our lower income areas that that really rely on some of those social programs. So one of the biggest drivers is the new Medicaid work requirement. So if you're a childless adult or a parent with kids who are 15 or older, you need to prove you worked, volunteered, or went to school at least 80 hours of the previous month to qualify. So that's a big deal. You need to figure out what your qualifications are if you're in this category and are relying on that Medicaid assistance. So eligibility checks are getting stricter because states now must verify that eligibility every 6 months.
Wow.
So that's something to make sure you're taken care of. Mm-hmm. And I know it's a problem for people that actually do work and use this, because then they have to take time off to get all that done. But but it's something that's important that you take care of for those kids.
Oh,
right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the potential result, according to the CBO, is that nearly 12 million more Americans might be uninsured by 2034. So that's more cuts hit the Affordable Care Act. That number could climb even higher. So we're going to have a lot more people that are not going to be covered by some type of insurance because of these budget cuts. The bill also tightens food assistance rules with the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, known as SNAP, by expanding work requirements and shifting more of the cost burden to states. And I don't know about your state, but most states can't handle more cost burden. So
no.
Ultimately, if you or your people care or about rely on these programs, this is a background noise. It's something that may hit home for people in your neighborhoods, right? So it's something to be aware of, right?
Yep, it is. I think it's definitely something to be aware of. And we're all going to have to be patient in the coming weeks and months so we can see how this bill will shake out for most people. There is a lot here to consider. So what's next? What do you want to look at next here?
So there's another part of the bill that kind of changes some of our consumer protections. There's some changes in this budget that may be a special note. So if you've got student loans or care about consumer protections, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the government watchdog that's clawed back more than $21 billion for consumers, just had its budget cut in half. So the article explains that it could mean fewer investigations, fewer refunds, and less protection where it matters the most. And for federal student loan borrowers, things are shifting fast. The bill scraps the current repayment plans, stretches out the forgiveness timelines, and ends funding for graduate plus loans. It even sets lifetime borrowing limits for grad students. So if you were counting on federal aid to finish that degree, the road may have gotten a little bit harder for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's true. It may have. When it comes to big picture things like the national debt, which has been growing exponentially, and the overall economy, what does it say about that?
So the tax foundation projects it will give the economy a short-term jolt, right? But it's going to encourage business investment through these big tax cuts. That boost comes with a $3 trillion price tag that's going to be added to our $36 trillion national debt. But you know, maybe if it does give the jolt, maybe that'll produce more taxes. Maybe that'll help. So that's one kind of goal, right? The biggest chunk is tax changes, followed by $1 trillion earmarked for defense, border security, and immigration enforcement, including $45 billion for the border wall, and another $45 billion for detention facilities. So not everything's getting funded. The article explains that the bill rolls back key clean energy incentives, which we went over a little bit. And some experts say that could raise energy costs for consumers, slow down clean energy development, and even lead to job losses while emissions may go up. So finally, there's one thing that keeps the lights on. The bill raises the debt ceiling by $5 trillion. That move keeps the U.S. from defaulting on its bills this summer, which could send shockwaves through the economy. So love it or hate it, the budget bill isn't just about numbers. It's about priorities, trade-offs, and what kind of future the country is headed toward.
Yeah, it is. It's so big. There's so much here. And one of my biggest questions, I followed how Congress debated the bill, was what it may mean specifically for Social Security. There was some confusion there because we heard some politicians and people say, oh, we're eliminating taxes on Social Security. But that didn't happen. Did it?
No, it did not. So we still are running off the same table that got put in for how your Social Security gets taxed that was instituted back in the 80s.
Yep.
The numbers on it are exactly the same since then. So it can be tax-free, but it's not always tax-free. So most people, depending on your income, 85% of your benefits get taxed. Can get taxed, right. So it all comes down to something called combined income. So it takes half your Social Security and your adjusted gross income, and then it puts it in this table depending on if you're single or married. So if your combined income is $25,000 as an individual or $32,000 as a couple, the IRS started taxing up to half your benefits. If you go above $34,000 as an individual and up over $44,000 as a couple, you're looking at taxes of up to 85% on your Social Security benefits. So that's kind of how it works. Come see me if these numbers are confusing.
Right.
But those income thresholds haven't been touched since the 80s, as I mentioned.
Yep.
As income rises, more retirees will find themselves with surprise tax bills because of how much you're having to pay on the Social Security taxes.
Yeah.
Most people back in the 80s weren't taxed very much. But now as our incomes have gone up, mm-hmm. we're still working off the same table.
Yeah.
And so they are getting people are getting taxed on their Social Security benefits.
Yeah. And in fact, in 1984, only 10% of Americans had to pay taxes on their Social Security benefits.
Yeah.
But today it's over 40%. That was before this bill was passed. About 40% of Americans, according to the article you referenced, over 40%, have to pay at least some of their Social Security income that they get in retirement is subject to tax, at least 50%, if not 85%.
Right.
So a percent of their income is subject to whatever tax bracket they're in.
Right.
However, they found a way around it because they needed a supermajority to make that change to Social Security to eliminate taxes. They couldn't do it. So somebody was very clever, I have to say. And this is probably the one part of the bill I like for the most part. There's always there's always a downside to everything that we do. But that $6,000 bonus tax credit for seniors that you mentioned earlier.
Yes.
That's on top of an already bonus of $1,600 per person age 65 and older. And if you're a couple filing jointly and you're 65 and older, the base standard deduction is about $31,000 now because of this bill. They increased it a little bit. So you take the $31,000, the $1,600 per person and $6,000 per person. A couple who are 65 and over filing jointly, their standard deduction starting in for the tax year of 2025 will be about $45,500, somewhere in that neighborhood. And that's amazing. And that is huge. And what that does is that brings that number up to about 88% of Americans will not be in a tax bracket where or have enough taxable income where they'd have to pay any tax on Social Security. So it does eliminate that for a lot of people.
That's a lot of people.
And my parents won't have to pay any taxes next year because of it or for the next 4 years unless they make a change. We're out of time. How can our listeners get a hold of you if they need help sorting all this out and figuring out how it's going to affect them?
So we weren't able to get to everything that's in this tax bill that may affect you. But if you give us a call at 719-210-4242, we'll set up a company consultation. We'll meet in our office. We'll sit down and we'll go over your finances and how taxes can affect you. Now, I'm not a CPA and I'm not a tax attorney, but we do retirement planning. So we know a lot about how taxes affect your retirement dollars. So give us a call 719-210-4242. Check out our website, nolanfinancialpartners.com.
All right. And that does it for today's episode of Nolan Financial Radio with our host, Chris McKinney.
Join us again soon for another episode of Nolan Financial Radio. Take care and we'll talk to you again.
Thank you for listening to Nolan Financial Radio. Don't pay too much for taxes or retire without a sound income plan. For more information, please contact Tara Nolan at Tara Nolan Advisory Services. Call 719-210-4242 or visit the website at taraenolan.com.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.